This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. There's plenty of talk about the fiscal cliff. This morning, Dave Foster and Mark Motley are on the money with Chris DeSimeo to take a look at possible changes in taxes.
The first full week of trading after the election, and somewhere out there in the background, there is Paul Simon continuing to sing Slip Sliding Away. Equity prices continued to decline throughout the week. They tried to hang in there a little bit yesterday morning. The markets opened up a few days, actually, a little higher, and by the mid-afternoon, they continued to run out of gas as there just didn't seem to be enough buying interest out there ahead of the discussions over the fiscal cliff and concerns over Europe. So not generally a very good week for stocks. And, of course, this fiscal cliff is quite the topic of conversation because it is approaching us like the inbound freight train. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show, back to the show, our friends David Foster and Mark Motley. They have the complete alphabet soup of designations covered. David is a CPA and a certified financial planner. Mark is a chartered financial analyst, a CFA. And gentlemen, thanks for taking time away from your busy schedules to be with us.
Our pleasure. Yeah, it's great to be here. I'm back on with you.
Yeah, tell us what happens if the fiscal cliff comes and nothing has been done to avert it. What happens on when the clock strikes midnight on January 1st, 2013? Let's hit the tax angle first.
A lot of changes. You know, everybody knows the hears about the fact that the Bush tax cuts are going away. That's all on the income tax side. Basically, you know, capital gains rates are going up from 15 to really 20%. Qualified dividends lose their tax-favored status and just get taxed like anything else. And there's just a general rise in the marginal rates, especially at the higher end. So that all happens. Then there's also a new 3.8% Medicare surtax that was part of the Affordable Health Care Act that kicks in. That really hits higher income folks, the wealthy that everybody talks about.
Is that the $250,000 threshold for joint filers? Okay.
Correct. So if you've got adjusted gross income over $250,000, you got a couple new taxes to worry about. And then finally, the other really big one is in the estate tax area. The amount, the what's called the exemption amount, which is currently over $5 million per person, will go back down to $1 million per person. So it's a lot of changes that could have significant tax implications.
Sure. So just to stop right there for a minute and smell this particular rose, you're saying that this year, if someone is planning their estate and they've done well, they've been successful, and they have, you know, each of them are worth more than $5 million, that a husband and wife can pass up to $10 million without having that money exposed to federal estate tax this year, and then next year it goes back to what it was 12 years ago?
Actually goes back to what... So the first part, yes.
10 years
everybody
ago.
Everybody gets that $10 million, and it goes back to actually what it was, I think, in 2001, which I guess was almost...
about 12 years
11
ago.
11 years ago, but yeah. It goes back to $1 million.
And what are the investment implications then, Mark, of this kind of... This kind of inbound freight train.
Well, in short, the economic expectations widely held are that would, if no changes occurred, that would tip the economy into at least a mild recession, going from 1.5% real growth to probably negative 1% after inflation.
And what kinds of investments would be least likely to get spanked in that kind of environment?
Yeah, well, in the short term, probably treasuries.
And how about tax-free bonds? If this is something that – is this something that people who may not have taken a look at that particular sandbox lately, should investors be looking into the world of tax-free bonds?
In terms of yield spreads, they actually look very compelling versus taxable bonds, but there are uncertainties there. If there's a whole restructuring of the tax code, will that change for tax-free bonds as well? So there's some risk, perhaps not as large as some other kinds of risk, but there's some risk there.
Last week, Barron's had an excellent piece, a cover story. They usually don't allow Gene Epstein, who is their economics beat writer, to get the cover story, but he did, and he did a dandy job with it last week. One of the things he pointed out is how much money the federal government would stand to haul in by not indexing the alternative minimum tax for inflation. What are the chances of that happening, and what can people do to protect themselves?
there's a couple issues there. When you say indexing, I mean, the first issue is there's this exemption amount that they let expire every year, and it drops back. I mean, make the math simple. Like a married couple gets a $75,000 exemption for AMT, and right now it's at about $45,000. And every year, at the end of the year, they scramble around and pass this patch, and they add another $30,000 on it, and that gets millions of people out of AMT. So, I mean, honestly, there's just not much you can do about it, Chris. I mean, the only, you know, there's some issues like prepaying state and local tax at the end of the year. And I think it's a discussion people would need to have with their tax advisor or, you know, if they do their own return, God bless them. They got to mess around with dealing with whether Congress is going to add that patch or not. We call it the AMT patch that they do every year. So, but that's really the only planning is, gee, should you prepay some things that some deductions that you might get if you're not in the AMT, but that you would be disallowed if you are in the AMT?
Yeah, at your
past, Netflix was almost an automatic, and now it's sort of, you know, way back burner, hostage to lots of other front and center items.
Sure, front and center, of course, is your website. There'll be a link to your website where you have your research notes posted, and it's a free website, of course. But you talk about the estate tax update. You talk about the actual investment environment update. Normally, the fourth quarter of a year, at least historically, has been a pretty good one for equities. What happened?
Well, we're not done with the fourth quarter yet, but
he says hopefully.
But certainly, so far, this is just our view is heightened uncertainty, and the market seems to be reflecting that. We've been preparing for that more and more through the year, and we're living with that for now.
Are there certain layups almost given, even if you are uncertain about what's happening with the fiscal cliff or fiscal curb, depending on which network you watch, or if you're worried about what's happening in Europe, are there some kinds of investment themes that are insulated from that better so than others?
Well, that's really a challenge right now we're facing as we see heightened risks, but at the same time, the places to hide are scarcer and scarcer. Traditionally, you know, bonds, at least short-term high-quality bonds, and cash after inflation yields negative yield.
Right.
As a negative yield. And bonds look very risky to us, especially a little farther down the road. The two big risks are near-term recession, and it's not solely a function of fiscal cliff. There are lots of other shocks that could impact that. Iran, Middle East, Europe, China, it's a long list.
Sure.
And in the longer term, there's the inflation issue. And in some ways, that's actually bigger because there's this distinction between, you know, temporary losses and permanent losses. And the temporary losses, you have a recession and the market goes in a bear market, but you hold on and 2 years later, whatever is back. And it's a temporary loss if you didn't sell at the bottom. But permanent losses are a different animal. And one of the sort of more insidious forms of permanent losses is inflation. It's a little bit at a time, but it's not something that bounces back on the other side of the bear market. And so, and the protection against the recession risks and inflation risk are entirely different sorts of things.
Let's assume for a minute that someone was fortunate enough to have made an investment in a company that's gone up a whole lot and they've owned it for years. And now, as we approach the end of the year, are you suggesting, or what kind of process are you recommending for your clients to go through to determine whether they should bite the bullet and pay the capital gains tax now at what we at rates that are known, or wait a little bit and hope that things aren't as bad as are commonly feared?
Well, it certainly deserves careful analysis because almost certainly they're going to pay higher capital gains tax. You know, so if it's, number one, if it's like a concentrated position, if it's something that's become outsized in their portfolio, say more than 10% of their investment holdings, then, boy, it's probably a great time to diversify because, again, it's just not going to get much better. So that's kind of an easy one. If it's somebody who retired from, you know, a large company and has 40% of their portfolio in a stock that's gone up over the years, gee, let's look at diversifying. Absent that, the whole idea of sort of gain harvesting is a little tricky, you know, because obviously you're prepaying tax, but it definitely could make sense. I mean, if you got somebody who's going to be in the 250,000 plus, you know, adjusted income category going forward, there's a potentially significant advantage to selling this year.
Yeah, and of course, before embarking on any such strategy, make sure to check with your own trusted investment and tax advisor so you don't run afoul of the dreaded wash rules.
Hey, Chris, do I have time for one comment about wash rules?
Sure.
They don't apply to gains, only losses. So we're talking about taking gains, people can ignore wash rules.
Perfect. Boy, I'm glad that was worth the extra few seconds. Thanks, Dave Foster, CPA, and Mark Motley, CFA from the firm of Foster & Motley in Cincinnati. And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.